What a joy it is to be here during the Christmas season. Just this week, we had the privilege of having our neighbors in our home on Tuesday night for a special concert with Jamal Badry. And he just sang The Love of Jesus and blessed our hearts. And I've been decorating for Christmas and just excited about Christmas, the most beautiful time of the year to be alive, I think. And last Sunday when I walked in our Sunday school department, one of the girls had on a beautiful pin, and it was a little wreath. And where the bow would be on the wreath, it spelled out joy. And I said, Gina, tell me about your pin. She said, that's so special to me. She said, it stands for Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. And I know we've heard that so many times, and that's what Christmas is all about. Jesus first, others second, and ourselves last. And I think in the life of a Christian especially, that this is the most exciting time of the year to be alive. We have so much to be praising the Lord for and thanking Him for. Just the thought that He is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords. And I love what Isaiah has to say. He says He is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. Don't you love it? What a beautiful time in the life of the Christian to be alive and praising Jesus for who He is and His great love for us, and how He has really come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. He is worthy. He is worthy of all praise and all glory and all power. You know, at this time of the year, I like to think of a song that we used to sing, and I don't hear it a whole lot anymore, but it was just, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face." And we live in a day and age where the world is wanting us to look at it and not at Jesus. And just to think of that song, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face." This Christmas season, that's what Jesus wants us to do. And the songwriter goes on and says, "And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in light of His glory and His grace." And you know, as I have been decorating our home and getting ready for Christmas this year, I've been reminded of the Christmas colors and how symbolically they mean to me. The red being symbolic of the blood of Jesus and how He shed that for us that we might have victory and might have forgiveness of sin and be washed in His blood. And then the green, symbolic of His life, and how He is living, and He is not dead. He's not just a baby. He is alive, and He is our King, and He is our Lord of Lords. And then I love lights on the tree, and I love lots of lights on the tree, and just the simple remembrance of how Jesus is the light of the world, and there is so much darkness and so much despair everywhere, but Jesus has come as the light of the world, and He wants to shine forth in every dark place. This is just a beautiful time of the season to really be praising the Lord and thanking Him for who He is and really focusing on Him, really turning our eyes upon Him. And tonight we've been asked just to share something of Christmas in our home. And I want to share just a few of the traditions that we have in our home at Christmas time. When Jerry and I married, it was really our desire that all of our Christmases would be Christ-centered. And we have tried to make them Christ-centered each and every year. One of the traditions that we have always had is to always read the Christmas story together as a family during the Christmas season. And when the boys were little, we even baked birthday cakes for Jesus. And I see a friend here who I think we probably did that together maybe way back. And all. But that was a fun time, and always just to focus in on the real purpose and the real meaning of Jesus at Christmas. And another tradition we have kept in our home is the tradition of honoring Jesus at Christmas time more than we honor anyone else. And we do that by giving more to Jesus than we spend on all of the gifts. And we do that in the way of giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And for some of you who may not know what that is, it's a foreign mission offering in the Baptist Church. And we always make sure that the Lord is honored more than what we spend on our family. But we do enjoy exchanging gifts. And what we do is we go ahead and buy gifts at Christmas time, but make sure Jesus gets the greatest gift. And then we honor each family member in a greater way on their birthday rather than at Christmas time. And every year, as Tammy said, I like to shop for bargains. And I don't think it's quite as bad as what Tam said. She probably just happened to be over there one day when we really hit a good one. And I'll... But anyway, I like to shop for bargains, and I like to really pray that God would lead me to just the gift to get each individual that's on my Christmas gift, that they would really know the love of God through that gift and the love that we have for them and giving that gift to them. And it's real exciting to see some of the things that God has led me to, and sometimes I've gotten home and wondered, you know, why did I buy that and all? But then when I have given it to the person I bought it for, to see that the joy that they had in receiving it was just what they needed or just what they wanted and maybe perhaps would have not bought for themselves. So that's been fun, and I always make it a habit when I'm wrapping my gifts to spend that time while I'm wrapping praying for that person, and maybe if I know their needs, praying for their special needs or praying for them in a general way if I don't know specific things to pray about for them. And that has been a real blessing. And Christmas time at our home is a family time. Christmas Day is spent with family and with relatives, and it's a fun time. We have a tradition of having quail breakfast on Christmas morning and biscuits and gravy. And if you haven't had dinner and you like quail and biscuits and gravy, you may be getting hungry. But that's a whole lot of fun. And Jerry and Stephen Don are the hunters, and they bring home the quail. And I'm the cooker, and I like it just like that. They could go out and kill them, and I'll cook them. You know, but that's a fun time. And we always, during the holiday season, like we do at any day, though, have a prayer and praise Thanksgiving time at each meal, and just thanking God for His goodness and for His blessings. Last year, God laid on our hearts to do something a little bit different, and we gathered the boys around us and talked to them to see what they might think about this. And there was a family that we knew of who was very, very deeply in need and had had a lot of hurt in their family. And God just impressed upon us to, rather than buy gifts for each other, to take the money that we would spend and put some more with it and give to that family. And so we did that, and it was a little bit different because I've never gotten up on a Christmas morning with a half-empty Christmas tree. And I thought, now this is going to be kind of different. And I have to just confess to you that I like Christmas and I like gifts. And I wondered just how this was going to be. And God really showed me a lot about my heart and where my heart really was. And I have to tell you that absolutely, without a doubt, that turned out to be the very most beautiful Christmas that I've ever spent. And just knowing that we had been able to help another family to find happiness. And, you know, I really didn't even notice the half-empty Christmas tree. And it was very interesting to me. Steve and Don never said one word about it. And they weren't mopey or anything. It was just nothing that was discussed. And there, it was no big deal, you know. And it was really, truly one of the most blessed Christmases that we have ever spent. And I thought, this is really what Christmas is all about. And we get so caught up in getting, and many times not so much in giving of what God has abundantly blessed us with. And one of my favorite verses is just the Song of Mary, when she says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit doth greatly rejoice in me." That's how I felt last Christmas. You know, as I really thought about Jesus, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit doth greatly rejoice within me." And I just praise God. What a beautiful time of the year to be just zeroing in on praising the Lord, singing praises to Him. And I don't know what point you are in your life, and maybe this Christmas you really don't have a whole lot to praise the Lord about. But I just really challenge you to get into the last chapters in Psalms, the last five chapters in Psalms, and pray through those. And those will give you something to pray and praise the Lord about and adore Him. And you know, when we can get our eyes off of ourselves and focused on the Lord, we really find victory. And this is how a king won victory in his life. Jehoshaphat, he sought the Lord, and the Lord instructed him to praise him, and he won a great battle by praise. And so this Christmas, is at Christmas time this year, as Christians, we really need to think about what the season really means and the reason of it, and really practice praising the Lord for who he really is and enduring for his attributes, the characteristics of the Lord. Well, I've shared just a few of the traditions that we have in our home as a family, but really the most meaningful tradition that we have as a family, I believe, is trying to keep Christ at the center of Christmas. And Jerry's going to share on that right now.
Not sure I've ever been introduced like that before, Tammy. I appreciate that very much. The most meaningful Christmas tradition, like Marilyn has shared with you, that we as a family share, is that of keeping Christ at the center of Christmas. And sometimes that's very difficult, isn't it? I have a passage of Scripture, a portion of Scripture, that I'd like to share with you that I think has a lot to do with tradition. You may not think of it as being having to do with Christmas, but it goes something like this: "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I think it has an awful lot to do with tradition. And now we're thinking about Christmas traditions. Three words stand out to me as I think about this portion of Scripture. One is conformed, the other is transformed, and the other is renewing. I want to share with you something just very briefly, because it expresses it much better than I can. But the idea of conformed, assuming an outward expression that does not come from within him, nor is it representative of his inner heart life, but outward pressure. Conforming because of the outward pressure on us. And all of us face that kind of pressure day by day. And it seems to me like, especially during the Christmas time, the Christmas season, there are a lot of external pressures on us to conform. Paul exhorts Christians, stop assuming an outward expression which is patterned after this world, an expression which does not come from nor is representative of what you are in your inner being as a regenerated child of God. Stop assuming an outward expression which is patterned after the world. Can be expressed like this: don't be squeezed into the mold of the world with its mannerisms, speech expressions, styles, habits, etc. Be not conformed. And you know, as I thought about that, and I thought of an example in our own life, Marilyn shared with you that on Tuesday night of this week, we had a neighborhood party. We have one every year. And it, we have, it's in another, the home is different each year. We move it around from one home to the other. But every year, basically, the party is about the same. We come together as neighbors, and we eat, and we sit around and fellowship, just visit for 2.5 hours or so. Well, we've been doing that for years. I don't really know how long. We've lived there where we live for 16 or 17 years, and it's almost that long, I believe, that we've been doing that. And that's been the tradition. This year, we volunteered to have it at our home. And we really felt that God would have us do something different, break tradition. And so, like Marilyn shared, although it was so different from anything we've ever done, we asked, we invited Jamal Badry, a friend of ours, to come and sing praises to Jesus. And it was, and then I asked my next door neighbor, who's a doctor, if he would take a few minutes and just share concerning the true meaning of Christmas. We had people there, on our block and around in that neighborhood. We had about 35 people or so. And some who are Christians, some who are lost. And so I'll just be honest with you. It was kind of difficult for me to break that tradition. I had thoughts going through my mind. But I really felt like as a Christian, you know, with the new nature that we have, I wanted to exalt Christ. I wanted Christ to be exalted in our home. And so Marilyn and I discussed that. And we decided that that's what we would do. Well, you know, as some people left, it's kind of like visiting in a hospital, you know. Have you ever visited in the hospital and visit some young mother that just had a child, and it's the ugliest child you've ever seen, you know? And what do you say, you know? Well, have you ever heard what people say in a situation like that? You know, they usually don't say, that is the ugliest kid I've ever seen. You know, they usually don't say things like that. But they usually say, boy, that is some baby. Or, you know, something along that line. What a child. Well, as some of these folks left, they said, what a party. So I don't know what some of them meant. But I tell you, most of them, as they left, said, we just want to thank you for the experience that we've shared together tonight as neighbors. And you know, that comment came from some of those who were lost. We just want to thank you for this experience we've shared together as neighbors. So I think the message is very strong to us, not to conform. Not to conform. Another word that stood out there to me was transform, changing the outward expression to more truly reflect the inner being. Changing the outward expression to more truly reflect the inner being. Paul exhorts Christians, change your outward expression from that which you had before salvation, an expression which came from your totally depraved nature and was representative of it, to an expression which comes from your regenerated inner being, and it is representative of it. What he's really saying is that because we know Jesus Christ as our own personal Lord and Savior, we have a new nature. Don't be pressured and don't give in and conform to the world. But be transformed. Let that new nature within you manifest itself, reflect Christ out to the world. I thought of examples of that. One of the examples, I think, is in the one I just shared with you about not conforming and breaking tradition. And in our neighborhood, having a Christmas. The thing that had bothered me was that we would go to a party, Christmas party, year after year, where Christ was never mentioned or exalted or lifted up. And so, if we're to be transformed, we're to change, we're to be different. I think a good, tremendous example is the Transfiguration, Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He went up with Peter and James and John, an itinerant preacher. But while he was there, he just glowed, because what he really was came forth and shone through his countenance. Transformed. Because you have been transformed by Christ giving you a new nature, it should be reflected through your face, through your countenance. Another example I could think of being transformed, a friend of mine, his name is Bob. And before he was saved, wasn't saved till he was up in his 20s, before he was saved, another friend told me that every time he closes his eyes, he could see Bob kicking some guy in the head on a barroom floor. They were drunk every weekend and gambled the whole weekend. And I heard Bob in his testimony one time share how he traded 5 cards for 5 little boys in the Sunday school class. That's transformed. Not from outward pressure, from something that happened inside. I thought of Jim, a young man that we dealt with who was an alcoholic at 23 or 24. Came back from Vietnam. Nerves were shot. But he found Jesus. And his life is transformed. That young man in one summer led 60 people to the Lord. His life was transformed. I thought of another guy. His name was Dean. The night he sat in my office, he was trembling. Alcoholic. About 23, been in the service, been on drugs, been pushing drugs in the service. But Jesus came into his heart. He was transformed. Now he's teaching a Sunday school class. He's different. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Then there's another word in there that has special meaning to me. It's the word renewing. Because as I have read through that passage many times, I've seen that we are transformed by the renewing. And so I want to know what's involved in the renewing. If we're transformed by the renewing, what's involved in the renewing? The gradual conforming of the man more and more to that spiritual world into which he has been introduced and in which he now lives and moves. The restoration of the divine image, and in all this, so far from being passive, he must be a fellow worker with God in the process of renewing. A fellow worker with God in the process of renewing. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Are you a fellow worker with God in the process of renewing? When you really get down to it, what he's really saying is, Paul exhorts Christians, adopt new goals and new attitudes. Attitudes being thoughts and feelings expressed in behavior. Adopt new goals and new attitudes. Our role in renewing our mind is far from passive. It is very active. Well, I shared with you the most meaningful Christmas tradition which we share as a family. Marilyn shared it with you, and that is the one of trying to keep Christ at the center of our Christmas. And I suppose the question is, how can we? Well, for Marilyn and I, it started many years ago with new goals and new attitudes. A renewing of our mind. And daily, even now, God continues to speak to us about this renewing of our mind. I suppose every day as I'm in God's Word in my quiet time, God's speaking to me about the renewing of my mind. New goals, new attitudes, those which would most glorify Him. So we'd like to challenge you to approach this Christmas season with new goals and new attitudes. You say you'd like to have a meaningful Christmas. In fact, one of the things that was sent to us speaking or saying something about our being here said that we would be talking about a meaningful Christmas. My mind just works in that way. If somebody shares something, I want to know how to do it, you know. How to. So we challenge you to approach this Christmas season with new goals and new attitudes. To have a really meaningful Christmas, don't conform. Be transformed. Renew your mind with new goals and new attitudes. And before you leave tonight, we prepared a page that I hope that everyone will get. I hope you'll take it home with you. And I hope tonight, before you go to bed, just in the privacy of your own room, apartment, that you will, before God, pray about your goals and your attitudes during this Christmas season. Thank you for letting us be here. Carolyn wanted to know if I'd pray. Okay, would you lead us? Or would you bow and I'll lead us? God, we really do love you. In fact, we adore you. We thank you for the privilege of knowing you. God, our determined purpose is that we may know you, that we may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with you, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of your person more strongly and more clearly, and that we may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from your resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that we may so share your suffering as to be continually transformed in spirit into your likeness, even to your death, in the hope. Bless each one here in a very special way, and give them each one, God, a very meaningful Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.